Hallelujah. May be seated. Thank you. Let me see the hands of those who were with us this week, at least in one or two of the services you were there. Praise God. Very good. What is it? Good on you. Can you understand me okay?
Yeah.
Do we need an interpreter?
No.
Okay, good. We don't have one. That's good. That's good. Praise the Lord. I would like to ask, I think he said his name was, is it Jamal? Jamal. I couldn't hear it very clearly. Where is he? Oh, you're right over there. Do you have any of your cousins with you? Or are you by yourself? I can't hear you. Oh, the family's over there? Well, I don't mean to embarrass you or anything, but I'd like for you to sit on the front row. Would you come sit up there? Now, you're not being punished. You know, the front row means different things to different people. If you're trying to get away with something, you don't want to be called to the front row. But if you're eager and you're hungry, the front row is a place of privilege. Amen. So I'm a front row Christian myself. I don't want to be a back row Christian. But the reason I want to say, now tell me, say your name nice and loud so I get it right. Jamal?
Jamal.
Jamin. I guess I need the interpreter. Jamin. Okay, that's not a good Texas name, but I like it now. That's good. I'll take that back with me. The reason I wanted to call you up here, Jamin, is because the word the pastor had for you, and I concur with that. I agree with that. When you boldly came forward here the other night to be filled with the Holy Spirit, the thing that I'm going to be talking about today is something that will carry you from where you are today on through life. You know, the Lord ministered to you, and just by watching your face, I can tell that you've had some encounters with the Lord over this weekend, and you've really sensed His presence. But that expression of His presence is not necessarily something we walk in every day. Those are special, and the Lord marks our thinking and marks our soul with those times, but we don't live in that condition. I mean, can you imagine what it'd be like if you just walked around crying all day, every day? But there are times that are really special in the Lord. Now, that does not mean that we should not be aware of His presence. We should be aware of His presence every moment of every day. And when we're not aware of His presence, it's not His fault because He's not hiding. He declared, as we learned in our first service, He is Jehovah, which means I am the God that reveals. He reveals Himself. But our job, what did Jesus say? We are to seek so that we may find. And so we learn how to grow and become more aware of His presence and be more in touch with Him who is within us. But what I'm going to talk about today, though, is how you can grow and be strong in your spirit, be strong in your inner man every day of your life. And it's a process, just like growing naturally is a process, growing mentally is a process. You should never, ever quit training. There is that process by which we develop. You know, there's spiritual growth like there's natural growth, but there comes a time when we actually quit growing and we start developing. And by that I mean this, a baby grows, but at some point they quit growing. You know, you reach a point where you're not going to be any taller. You believe your feet aren't going to be any longer, you know. But you, for the rest of your life, you should continue to develop and develop in strength. That's why then we have to, on purpose, we go to the gym. On purpose, we exercise. On purpose, we move. And so, as our spiritual life is the same. There are things that we do that the Lord just helps us when we're new. We come to the Lord and we just, you know, if we just will come to church and just do a few things, we just start growing. But then as we get older in the Lord, there are things that we have to do more on purpose to exercise that spiritual growth, and we develop so that we become stronger in the Lord, more mature in the Lord. And unlike physical growth, spiritual growth knows no end. Spiritual growth, you never come to a place spiritually where you can't develop or grow any further like you do physically. At some point, you know, as you get older and older, like Mama Jenkins said, it, you know, at 99, you are not going, your body's not going to be what it was at 16. But spiritually, it never regresses. Spiritually, you never wear out or grow older. You just continue to ascend higher and higher because by design, we are created to come to the fullness of the development of Jesus. So until we get to that point, we got some growing to do. But what we're going to talk about today is how to develop a strong spirit. And these things are not accidental. They're very much on purpose. And there is a way that it can be done. And you know what? It's really fun along the way. These aren't laborious things. It's a lot better than going to the gym. I'll tell you that. Hallelujah. So let's pray, and then we'll go right to the Word this morning. Father, we thank you so much for your Word. I thank you for these people. Lord, I thank you for this congregation, this wonderful body of believers that you have called and that you have joined together by the Holy Spirit because you chose, you put them together, you placed the call, you put a captain over them, a shepherd over their souls, that Lord, not only to teach and encourage and to help them and to watch over them, but also, Lord, to draw them get together as a body of believers to accomplish something in this world and to make a mark, Lord, wherever you send them. And Lord, I thank you for that. I thank you for the grace and the power and the anointing of God to do everything that you set in front of us to do. And now, Lord, I pray, as I have prayed before, but I pray it now, Lord, that everyone may hear and agree, that they may believe and receive. That, Father, by the time we end this hour we have together today, that, Lord, each and every one here will not just have a greater working knowledge in their mind, but that the grace of God to do, the grace of God to be, and an impartation of the very words that I speak today will leave this congregation stronger, leave this congregation built up in the Holy Spirit even more than when they came, that, Lord, there be a deposit of strength by the Holy Spirit in their inner man so that they are equipped today even better than they were yesterday and prepared to increase tomorrow so that they are more fit for the calling, more worthy of the calling with which you have called them. We thank you for it, Lord, and I bless this congregation in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Open your Bibles, please. Now, we're going to go through a lot of scriptures today. You know, there's preaching, there's teaching, there's all sorts of ways that the Holy Spirit can lead us in ministry. And today, I want to take you through a number of scriptures because I want you to see some things. I want you to see some things from the Word yourself. I encourage you to take notes today. This is one of those kind of messages where taking notes will help you. But also, so that when you read these verses, and I'll read some of them to you. We won't look all of them up. You can write them down. But as you let your eyes fall on the page, that this word that we see and the word that you hear today will actually go down into your spirit and begin to take root and bear fruit. Now, in 1 Thessalonians 5, chapter 5, verse 23, may the God of peace himself, that's the God of wholeness, that's what peace means, wholeness, may the God of wholeness sanctify you through and through and make you pure and consecrated, and may your spirit and soul and body be preserved sound and complete, found blameless at the coming of our Lord. You are a three-part being, spirit and soul and body. Hebrews 4 tells us that it's the Word of God that divides the spirit from the soul, from the body. And spiritual definition, of course, it's clear to be able to see your body in the sense of the flesh, the bone, the eyes and ears, your physical senses, you know, your seeing, hearing, smelling, tasting, and touching. But there's also That's all the physical part of you, but that all is part of a natural world. There's a natural thinking, there's a natural flow, we're in a natural world. And with this natural world, we have a natural body and a natural way to think to make contact with this natural world. But then you have a soul, and that soul is included in that soul is your intellect, your thinking, the expression of your personality, your emotions. Some people define it as your mind, your will, and emotions. It's not your brain. Your brain is the natural part that houses your mind and your thinking. You know, your brain can get messed up, and it makes the expression of the mind difficult or even fruitless. But the mind itself is not the brain. See, the mind is there's a seat of decision, and it's a deeper core. Then there's your spirit. This is what you are. You are a spirit, even as God is a spirit. The Bible tells us we are a spirit. God, you were created. You were the spirit man was not created of God in the sense that it was formed like the body, but the spirit of man was birthed out of God. The Bible says he breathed the spirit into him. Your spirit, you're a chip off the old block. Your spirit being was not created as in a formed and created the way the body was, but rather you came out of the very spirit life of God himself. And that makes you different than any other creature or creation. So you are a spirit. You have a soul. You live in the body. Now the soul and the spirit are divinely connected, and you can't separate them the way the spirit can be separated from the body. They are divinely connected. You know from the story, not the parable, but the story that Jesus told about the rich man and the poor man Lazarus. Do you remember the poor man Lazarus who sat outside the gate of the rich man's house? And the rich man died and went into hell. Lazarus died and was in Abraham's bosom. The great gulf fixed between the two. The rich man called over to Father Abraham and said, "Father Abraham, send Lazarus to dip water in that river and cool my tongue." And Abraham said to the rich man who was in hell, he said to him, "Son, remember." So remembrance, which will be a part of the mind, the soul, was still intact. Now the man's brain, of course, was in the ground up above. But the spirit of the man and his soul, his capacity to remember, was in hell. That's part of the torture of hell, is you will remember. You will remember, and nothing that you can do about it. And part of the torture that you'll remember all the opportunities that you had to know God. All the opportunities for choosing. That's what Abraham reminded him. All the opportunities he had to bless Lazarus, but he refused. And so we have this three-part being. Adam was given responsibility in his spirit. He was a spiritual being, and he was given spiritual domain. And the design of God is that your spirit always have the authority over the mind and over the body. That's the design of God. But when Adam sinned, he flipped it. He chose to follow after the impulse of his wife, after a natural desire for something that he was told not to do. He made a natural choice, and by doing that, he put the natural, gave the natural place over the spiritual place, and when he did that, his spirit fell. It's what we call the fall. And it fell from its place of authority in his life, and the natural took over, and the natural's not designed to be in charge. Your flesh is not designed to be in charge. It's not equipped to be in charge. Even your mind is not designed to be in charge. I remember I told this story, and won't get into the whole story of it, but we were on a trip down into the jungles of Guatemala. And there was a team of us, along with a team that lived there in Guatemala, driving into the jungles. Long story short, we were pulled over by some communist guerrillas, and my daughter was probably 12 years old before she understood that those were not monkeys. But anyway, she thought we had been attacked by monkeys when we told the story that had come out of the jungle. But anyway, we were pulled over at gunpoint to the side of the road, and we were ordered out of our car, which they were known for hijacking people and taking the cars, sometimes either just leaving the people there or killing them, leaving them. So we had two carloads of us. We pulled over, the gun in the window, get out of the car, and we were just stepping out of the car. The car I was in was a two-door, and so I was in the back seat, and everyone had already gotten out of the car, and I was stepping out of the car when over the hill came a military truck, which was actually full of civilian military. They were not soldiers. There were a few soldiers with them, but it was just packed with civilian workers for the military. But they had just come over the hill, and when they did, there was a firefight that began. And so these communist soldiers, they started firing on the military truck, which of course they didn't know it was primarily civilians. But the soldiers opened fire, the communists opened fire, and they're firing at each other, and we're in the middle. And so what happened was my mind did the dumb thing, and I'm just stepping out of the car. And so as I stepped out of the car, I thought, oh, I want to see. And I got up on the step of the car, and instead of getting down, I got up and I'm looking over the roof of the car. Not like, duh. And my husband grabs me. I have, bless his heart, y'all pray for him. He grabs me. He has a handful. He grabs me by the collar of my shirt, throws me on the ground, and says, Terry, get down. I mean, the grenade launchers are going off, machine guns are firing everywhere. And so throws me on the ground, which was a good thing. Anyway, there are several of us. There are about five of us, and we really are piled up on top of one another. I don't know. Somebody's foot was in my face. It was just, we were just down. And it was a gravel bed there. We're just in a lot of gravel. And so I'm still wanting to see. But anyway, the point is that the most unusual thing happened. My body, the adrenaline rush is amazing. My heart was beating so hard that it was lifting me off the ground. You know, it just happens. You know, it's exciting, not necessarily in a good way. But my heart was pounding so hard, it was just literally lifting me off the ground, and just breathing. You know, your body forgets to start breathing. You have to, on purpose, begin to breathe. Then my mind is thinking, well, this is interesting. I want to see. And then I'm looking like this, and I'm on the side of the road. I'm like this on my face, and I can see army boots, and I see a guy go down on his knees with his grenade launcher, you know, and the blast from that. It hits the gravel around us, and the gravel is pounding and pelting us on our legs, and I'm thinking, I wonder if I'm being shot. I wonder what this is like. I wonder what it feels like to be shot. And I wonder what's going on over there. So my mind is like a butterfly. It's in la-la land. But I could hear somebody saying, in the name of Jesus, and pray it in tongues, and I stopped to listen, and it was me. It was me. I mean, I was like Mama Jenkins. I was giving it the what for. And I heard somebody else, the man that was in charge of our group, I heard him say, that's right. Speak the name. Pray in tongues. And like everybody's like, oh yeah, oh yeah. But I'm telling you, my mind was still la-la. And I, you know, and so my heart's beating. My body was acting like it was scared. But I wasn't. My mind clearly wasn't scared. It wasn't anything. It was like, it was just floating through. Well, I just, isn't this all so interesting? And out of my mouth was coming the word of God and name of Jesus and praying in tongues and hallelujah. So the point of this story is that at that moment, all my parts came apart. My body was doing one thing. My mind was doing one thing. My spirit was doing the right thing. I was so thankful. I was so thankful when all that was over, calmed down, and we got away, and none of us were hurt, praise the Lord, but there were a number of people killed there that day. A lot of people died that day. But none of us were hurt, and absolutely nothing happened to us, not even to our vehicles, not one thing. But when all that was all said and done, I was so thankful. I thought, oh, Jesus, thank you. I'm so much thankful that there was some, the right thing was in there, because Jesus said, out of the abundance of your heart, your mouth will speak. And I was so glad to hear the right thing was coming out of my mouth, because my mind checked out. It was out, because my mind had never been trained what to do in that situation. Now, if I was a soldier or something else, I wouldn't have known what to do. But I had never, we just never got that far in Girl Scouts. We just never, never went past the cookie sales. And so, never got that far. But my spirit, thank you, Jesus, knew exactly what to do. And we could tell other stories. You know, I was actually kidnapped. How am I getting off on all this? This is not, I'll never get very far at all if I just start around talking on stories. I was actually on a camel at the Mount of Olives, and the man in charge of the camel took off with me. And he's whipping the camel. There's one guy in the back beating the camel to make it run. There's another guy on a little donkey. He's got the camel by chain. The camel's spitting everywhere. And this guy's kicking his donkey. He's just trying really hard to go. And the camel's spitting. And the other guy's beating the camel in the back with a metal rod to make the camel go. And off we went. I mean, off we went. This was supposed to be, you get on a camel, they stand the camel up. It costs you a shekel. You stand it, get you up on the camel. The camel walks around in a little circle. They whack the camel and he gets down and you get off. But instead, when I got on the camel, they lifted the camel up. They slowly started walking him away from all the people. And as soon as we got a few feet away, they took off and making the camel run. And I'm thinking to myself, I don't think this is right. They didn't do this with anybody else, okay? This is not looking good. And my friend was with me, and we come to realize we were the only two blondes in the group. She's hanging on for dear life on the back of this camel, and you hang on with your thighs. Okay, talk about thunder thighs. You hang on. You don't fall off, but you hang on by squeezing your legs on this camel. And she's squeezing more. She could hardly walk for 2 days after that. This is a big camel. And so we're on this camel. And this guy's just whipping the daylights out of that camel. And I'm riding. And we're almost a block away now from the group. And the people that were with me, after we were a block away, one guy goes, "Hey, they're running away with the blonde girls." So they finally start coming after us. But man, we're a block away by then. And so I'm thinking in my eyes, like, you know, the Lord gives you the things, what to do. And I said, this is all, of course, really fast in my heart. But I was like, God, now this had to be the Holy Ghost. You know, He's the one that has to show you what to pray in a situation like that. Because I would not have thought to pray this prayer. But inside of me, I said, God, if I ever had Copeland eyes, give them to me now. If you're familiar with Brother Copeland's eyes, they will bore holes through metal buildings. I tell you, I've been on the fiery end of those eyes, and it's not good. Mm-mm. Nope. So I was calling on Cole. Isn't that a funny thing to pray? But I did. That's what I, in my heart, said, because I knew he could understand what I was saying. And I asked for that, and I, of course, I'm hanging on to this camel hair, and I turned around. Sorry, I just think it's really funny. And I turned around. This guy's down below me. He's on the little donkey. And I'm way up high on this camel. And I looked down at him. I said, "You take me back." And he kicks the donkey, you know. Go, donkey, go. And, you know, donkeys don't go. But he was sure trying. I kind of think the donkey was like the one in the Bible. He's seeing that angel up ahead, and he's like, "I'm not going, I'm not going." And so I looked at this guy, and this time, okay, I have my eyes going, and I pulled out my finger. Now, my children know that when you get the finger out and the eyes, this is it. This is the fire is about to fall. And I'm hanging on to this camel with one hand, and I pointed to him, and I said, and honestly, I don't really even remember for sure if I said in the name of Jesus or not, but I, bless God, know where my authority comes from. And I looked at him, and I said, "You take me back now." And I was not smiling. I am now, but I was not then. I was very serious. I said that to him, and he looked up at me, and his eyes got big. I don't know what he saw. I don't know if he felt the fire. I don't know, but it worked. And all of a sudden, he jerked back on that donkey, and all of a sudden, the ride was over, and we just donkeyed around, and he took us back. And it was very serious. It was a very serious situation when the guy who was over all the tours, he was an IDF captain, and man, he was not happy with me. Like, I did it, you know, like I paid the guy to kidnap me. But anyway, and so, you know, your head can be off somewhere, and it often will. That's why you can't rely on that. Your body, you know, you can't rely on that. It'll do something funky. It'll give out on you. It'll pass out on you or something. But when your spirit is strong, and your spirit rises up, and the authority and the power of the Holy Spirit and the authority of Jesus, they're just, it's going to come out the way he said it's going to come out. My brother said to me after he found out, he said, "Oh, Terry, they wouldn't have kept you long." Yeah, my brother and I are real close. Okay. So now I want to show you something. Y'all stop. Y'all making me talk too much. In Proverbs chapter 4, I want to show you something. Maybe by the time I'm 98, I'll even have more stories. I'll tell you, Mama Jenkins has got them. She is quite a gal. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 20. "My son, attend to my words. Submit to my sayings. Don't let them depart from your sight. Keep them in the center of your heart." Now, when the Bible refers to the heart, it's also, that is synonymous with your spirit. Your spirit and your heart are the same. The Bible will make a distinction when it's talking about your physical heart, but the heart of man, or the spirit of man, the core of man, where, and what he says here, the heart. You want to keep the word in your heart, because he goes on to say these words are life to those that find them, healing and health to their flesh. Keep and guard your heart with all vigilance, and above all that you guard, for out of it flows the springs of life. So he's just said this, okay, the word. Now, we understand that the word of God is the very center and core of our faith. The Word of God is everything. By the Word, the Bible tells us that God created the worlds by His Word. That the world is held together by the Word of His power. Not just the power. It's not the power that holds the world together. It's the Word that holds it together. It's the Word of His power. His power is released and is effective by the Word that He speaks. And so this Word is the most precious thing that we have, because it is what's tangible. Now, we have tangible encounters with God, as we have seen, as you had happen down here at the altar, in fact, probably all at one time or another, had some sort of tangible contact with the Spirit of God. But this book is our tangible contact with Him any moment, any day, at any time. And it has as much spirit life in it as any expression, in fact, even more so, of anything else that we might experience of God. Peter said, this is the more sure word of prophecy, even beyond, he says, when he heard the voice out of heaven saying, this is my beloved Son. In the midst of he was watching Jesus be glorified and transfigured right there in front of his very eyes, and yet he said, this is the more sure word of prophecy. This is the guarantee. This is it right here. And everything else, every other experience in God, everything else we think God is, think God says, think He wants, anything else that experience, whatever, it all has to line up with this. And if it doesn't line up with this, then you throw that other thing out. There was a woman one time, my prayer leader went to a prayer conference, my prayer director. She went to a prayer conference as she was speaking. The woman that spoke for her made the comment that you don't really need your Bible in prayer. And it was all we could do to keep Iva belted to her seat. Iva's a lot like Mama Jenkins. She even looks a lot like her, only she's about 60 years younger. But I tell you what, Iva was ready to tear the place up. What do you mean, go into prayer without your Bible? There is no authority in prayer apart from your Bible. This is God's part of our prayer life. It's huge. And so anyway, this word is everything. And he says these words are life to you. But then he says, now you keep those words in your heart. And he goes on to say, for out of your heart flows the life. So the life is in the word. You put the word in your heart. But we are to protect and guard this heart and what goes in it, because the life that's in the word comes out of your heart. There's life in this word. But doing this with it isn't going to do me any good. This won't heal my leg. This won't change my mind. This won't answer my question, though there's power in it. It's when what's in this, these words, goes, what did I do to my hair when I did it? When these words go down into your heart, they are processed, and then when they come up out of your heart, when they flow like a spring out of your heart, life then is produced and released. And that's when it heals your body, changes your mind, changes circumstances, or makes bad Arabs on donkeys take you home. That's what happens. So he says, these words are processed in your heart, in your spirit, the way food is processed on the inside. You know, you could rub steak on you, but you won't get anything out of it. It's when you take it in and your body processes it that it is released then as a force we call strength or energy. And that's why that's true spiritually, the same as it would be true physically. You are what you eat. You know, and you can tell that, you know, when you look at a pound of butter and then you look in the mirror, and if you've eaten the pound of butter, well, guess what? You can still find it if you just look in the mirror. Okay, we won't go there. So, in John, we're on a roll today, aren't we? Praise the Lord. Now, in John 10:10, Jesus said, I came to give life. And he said, and I came to give it abundantly. Well, the highest form of that life is when that life comes through your spirit. Now, we can minister life to one another. Thank God. Thank God that you lay hands on somebody and life will come to that person. But where did the life come from that ministered to that person? Maybe it didn't come out of their spirit, but it came out of somebody's. And so the highest form for you to walk in life, the highest, the most dependable form of life coming out of, or you having life and experiencing the life of Jesus in your own life, is through your spirit. You have control over that. You determine what goes in. You determine what you eat. You determine how much you eat. You determine how strong that spirit is. It's not up to anybody else. It's up to you. Say, well, it's the pastor's job to feed you. Yeah, one meal a week. What are you going to do with yourself the rest of the days? You know, what kind of person would you be if you ate one meal a week or even two? You are supposed to grow. You take what the pastors teach you, what they show you, and then you take and you work that. Basically, when you come to church, it's cooking class. And they are teaching you how, and they're teaching you about the Word of God so that you can take that and begin to feed on it for yourself until you come back again. Now, in Romans 8:2, the Bible tells us that the law of the Spirit of life makes us free from the law of sin and death. And that life is going to come out of your spirit. And this is not just an abstract idea. The actual life, the living, breathing, breath in, breath out, heart beating life actually does flow from your spirit. This is not just some sort of religious or spiritual concept. We know from the book of James, chapter 2, verse 26, the human body, apart from the spirit, is lifeless. If you've ever been in a room when somebody dies, you can tell when the spirit leaves. I was with someone, that happened on more than one occasion, but one person in particular I'm thinking about. I was actually at the hospital with this person, had stepped into the hall to talk to the doctor. My husband was in the room with the man, and he hollered, he said, "Terry, come in." And so I walked into the hospital room, and he said, "He just left. I felt him leave." And he said, George was sitting there. In fact, there was no indication this man was going to die at that moment. At least the doctors didn't think so. But he had chosen, he told us earlier that day, he was going to heaven. And sure enough, within a few hours, he was gone. But George said, "I felt him leave." He said, "I felt his presence leave the room." Well, we looked over and the body was still breathing, but it was shutting down. The life had left it, and within, I don't remember, 3 or 4 minutes, everything had shut down. It was closing down. And so it's like sometimes the body just sort of takes a little while to shut all the lights out, but the life was gone. So, you know, doctors can hook, we could have hooked him up to a machine, made the heart pump, made the lungs go in and out, even made the blood flow, but you could not have brought him to life. Why? He was gone. So the body, apart from the spirit, is lifeless. Now, Proverbs 18:14. I want you to look this one up. I want you to see it. This is very important. Proverbs 18:14. The strong spirit of a man sustains him in bodily pain or trouble. The strong spirit of a man sustains him in bodily pain or in trouble. But a weak and broken spirit, who can raise up or bear? A weak spirit, who can bear? You know, the things of the spirit, healing, whether you walk in health or not, mental stability, peace in your circumstances, that is not all up to God. And it's not always up to God for you to come down to the altar every time and expect every time there to be a miracle or something when you have not been doing, your spirit is not strong, because your spirit will sustain. A strong spirit will sustain. Spiritually strong people, it will sustain the body in pain. This person that I was telling you about, when he died, he had been in faith about a number of things, and I had been praying for him. I mentioned him here the other night, talking about him, and the Lord had brought him through miraculously, no sign of cancer in his body whatsoever. And he walked with the Lord for a while, and then he let some resentment and bitterness creep in about some other things, kind of got away. And that cancer came back, I mean, with a vengeance. And he just within, really, I think we were, went to the hospital on a, what was it, a, found, took him for to the clinic on a Thursday, found out Monday that, yes, it was cancer. They put him back in the hospital, running tests Monday night, started running tests on Tuesday. He died Wednesday. Because he told me, he said, if this is cancer again, I'm just going to go on home. So he had not been doing really well, wasn't feeling good. He had doubled up on his aspirin. And so he was taking several aspirin a day, and he said, I just don't feel good. So we went back to the doctor and found out it was cancer. So they decided to run these tests. And I was actually standing in the hallway finding out the results of the test when he went home to be with the Lord. And the doctor said, started to tell me about his condition. He said, yes, there are at least 10,000 small tumors in his liver. We have found cancer in his brain. We have found cancer in the bones. His lungs are just about crusted over with it. And I said, are you sure? He said, yeah, I'm positive. I'm not really sure how he's lived like this. And I'm thinking, okay, he's doubled up on his aspirin. That's all he was doing. That's all that was happening. He didn't feel good. His spirit, because my family, we were praying, was sustaining him. It kept him alive. And it kept him alive long enough for him to get that bitterness and resentment. And I know he could have walked as free of that cancer again, just like he had done a year or two before, but he chose. And he said, I don't want to stay. I'm going home. And he was gone in 24 hours. So, but what I'm showing you is that with all of that, can you imagine it? 10,000 tumors in his liver alone? He was fine. So his spirit was sustaining him. It's a good example of that. Praise the Lord. Now in Romans 10:10, the Bible says, with the heart a person believes. We could say with the spirit. In other words, believing doesn't come out of your head. Believing doesn't come out of your hands or your feet or your body or your five physical senses. Faith is not a product of your head. It's not a product of your physical senses. It's a product of your spirit. With the heart or with the spirit, a person believes. And faith is what gives us contact to that spiritual realm. Faith is what brings the blessing of God into our lives. Faith is how that happens. What did Jesus say in about 95% of the instances that we have recorded in the New Testament? Go thy way according to thy faith. Thy faith has made thee whole. I have not marveled so much as this faith as any faith in Israel. You have great faith. Oh, where is your faith? Why do you have little faith? Over and over and over, he compares the success or the failure directly to the faith or the lack of it to the person in that situation. There are very few examples where it indicates that it was Jesus' faith and his faith alone that made a difference in a person's life. It was because of that person's faith. So faith is vital. In fact, all the workings of grace from salvation on, you are saved by grace through faith. Faith is the grace connector. Grace is more than just salvation. Grace is the empowerment of God to do anything He asks you to do. You know, be a husband, be a wife, a mother, a father, sister, brother, parent, worker, minister, laying hands on the sick, all of those things happen by the grace of God, and that grace works in your life by the faith that you exercise for it. And so this faith comes out of our heart. So it would stand to reason then, if there's little faith, great faith, weak faith, strong faith, no faith, that would come out and be a product of a strong spirit or a weak spirit, and that it would be a strong spirit that would produce a strong faith. Faith is a force, just like strength is a force. So if I have strong muscles, I'm going to have more physical strength. If I have a strong spirit, my faith is going to be a stronger faith. And it's stronger faith that lays hold of things. You know, it takes some faith. It takes faith to believe for bigger things. Not because it's harder for God. God's already given all. It says He's already blessed us with every blessing. It's already given. But by faith, we grow and develop and lay hold of things. Because in this life, there is a resistance. We have an enemy. This natural world doesn't flow the way God wants it to. It doesn't flow with God. It flows against Him. And so by faith, we pull on the spiritual blessings of God against everything natural. You know, this world is moving and thinking and acting in every way it can to kill, to steal, and to destroy. So in other words, you're swimming upstream, so to speak. But faith is sufficient to handle all of those things. Now, let's consider this in 3 John 2. Beloved, I wish above all things that you prosper and be in health. How? Even as your soul prospers. So it's this inner man that is key then to the prosperity of God in all of our life. In 2 Corinthians 4:16, Paul makes this statement, you're probably familiar with it. He says, don't be discouraged. Though our outer man is decaying and wasting away, yet our inner man or our inner self is being renewed day after day. Well, couple of things I want to point out to you. He said his inner man is being renewed. He didn't say necessarily that yours was. He didn't state that the inner man or everybody's inner man or everybody's spirit is being renewed day by day. He said his was. And if you go back and read, you can say his is being renewed day by day in spite of all the things that he had gone through. And so if it can be renewed or strengthened or encouraged, then that would also mean that it can be depleted. You think, well, is the spirit, can you deplete a spirit until it dies? You can't deplete a spirit until it ceases to exist the way a body would cease. But you can deplete a spirit to the point that it ceases to be able to provide and to exert life to the body or life to the mind. People become so weak physically. Sometimes people are so weak physically or sick physically, and they should be able to be healed. They should be able to be well. You do all the right things, they do all the right things, and yet you don't get the results. They die anyway. Why? No spiritual force to keep the body alive. People that they're so mentally distraught and disturbed that no matter what you tell them, beyond reason, beyond the ability to get capture their thinking and to talk to them or to straighten them out. Why? Because the spirit is so weak, cannot give life to the mind. And you can do that to the point that the body will cease to function. The mind will cease to function because there's no spirit life. The spirit has become so weakened and depleted that there's not enough strength in it to excrete or deliver that life out of the spirit into the mind or the body. And he says this is a day by day. So this helps us understand why we fail to receive. Okay, I want to show you some things here. This is our little object lesson. Dave, you'll pull those out for me. Now, Brother Hagin had a visitation from the Lord many years ago, probably 50 years ago. And the Lord told him, he said, there are three reasons why people fail to receive. He was talking specifically about sickness, but this would be true no matter what. And I want to demonstrate these three things to you. First of all, would be a lack of correct knowledge. A lack of knowledge. If you never find out, let's be specific about healing. It's easier to talk about, but this is true about your spirit. Okay, if you never find out, your spirit's never been fed that it's God's will to heal. You never heard that. In fact, maybe you have been told it is not His will to heal. He no longer heals. No matter what the Bible says, God has changed. And He no longer is in the healing business. He only uses doctors. And, of course, they're hit and miss. And their rates continue to go up. So that would be incorrect information. or because that knowledge or that information was rejected. Now, we can find all this in Mark chapter 4, and you find that that first group of people, it says they didn't receive it, whether it was never given to them or they rejected it. But the next two categories, and I'd like to have a couple of volunteers, a couple of good volunteers to come up here, and I'll be a blessing to you. Let's get a couple of, I can take more than two. We can do it in two categories. That's all right. Come on up. That's why I have lots of stuff. I was ready for you. Oh, well, you got a guy sat down. Okay, well, that's all right. Okay, now I'm going to let you pick which one you think you would like to have. We have this CD of the girls, Strand of Pearls. Okay, Praying Out Your Destiny. This is the one I taught on Mary. Fully Persuaded Faith. DVDs on Your Place in Prayer and Ways of the Spirit. You get to pick. You're the lady, so you get to pick. I'm going to make the other guys take what I give them. The DVDs. Okay, all right. Well, you can't have it yet. Okay. All right. The next thing that Jesus told Brother Hagin was that people fail to receive because they are too weak. Their spirits are too weak to receive. So we're going to demonstrate this physically. And let's just say Sue. I'm assuming that's your name tag since you're wearing it, so we'll say a Sue. I mean, you can't always assume, but anyway. Sue, you are so weak. You are so, so weak, you cannot lift your arms. You can't. Try to lift your arms. See, so weak she can't do it. And so I'm going to say, oh, Sue, I have something to give you. Here. Sue, I want you to just really want that. Sue, don't you want this?
Yes.
You do. Well, okay. Take it. She's so weak. She can't take it. She can't hold on to it. She couldn't take it. It went away. So that's category number two. You get now. See, you got strong all of a sudden. You're pretty good. Okay. So, well, let all you guys. You all have to do the same thing. In fact, I'll just. Well, we'll see. We'll let you. I told you you couldn't get to pick, didn't I? Should I give you the one on Mary? It's really good. You can have this one. I'm Praying Out Your Destiny. Well, you got all my stuff. This one's Fully Persuaded Faith. And I'm going to take this away from you in a minute. Which one would you like? Okay. Which is the best? Well, mine.
I'll take that one.
You can take the ways of the Spirit, yeah. Okay, but hang on now. Okay. So now you guys are, you're a little stronger, but you're still you're very weak. Now you think you're strong. Okay. You're just a little bit full of yourself. You go to church a couple of times a month and, most of the time, a couple of times a month. And so you really think you're strong, but you're not near as strong as you think. And so you can lift your arms, but you're not near as tough as you think you are. So you can look tough if you want to. And I'm going to bring this into you. What's your name?
Tim.
Tim, I have this gift for you. I have this wonderful healing for you. And so I'm going to give it to you. And the devil comes along and takes it right away. And you're so surprised. Looks this way, you look surprised. Oh, yeah. Because you can't believe that he just took it away from you that easy. Tough guy. But now this guy, he doesn't really necessarily think that he's strong. He's been really weak and he's getting a little stronger. But this healing, he came, he took it, he received it, and now took a little while, just a little force. He didn't last so long. So thank you very much. But now this guy, he has been in the spiritual gym every day. He's been doing what it takes. He's got the word coming in his ears. He's got the word going in. He's got CDs are playing. He's praising God, worshiping God. He's the first one at the church on Sunday mornings. He's there to help. He's listening to the word. He's one of those front row kind of Christians. And he's confessing the word, and he's been walking the floor and saying, the doctor told him that his hoobie-goodus was about to fail over here. And he's like, Lord, I believe in Jesus' name that I am the healed. By his stripes I was healed. And so he gets up and things are going along pretty good, but he hadn't seen any real change. And but he's got it. He's got the healing. The healing, he received it. He took a hold of that. And the devil comes along and tries to get that. And it's okay. Well, gives him a little while. And then another when he's praising God, I'm healed. I'm so thankful I'm healed. I can tell. I can see things happening. And then the devil comes along again and he says, You're the strong guy, remember? Right? Okay. And so then the devil's trying to get it away from him and trying to pull it away from him and trying to get it away from him. Give it to me, give it to me, give it to me, give it. You're not supposed to lick it. But he can't get it away from him. I'm being real easy on him, really. Can't get it away from him. Why? Because he is strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Thank you so much, everyone. Sue and Tim. And hallelujah. Okay, who wants a series on Mary? Who wants to hear about Mary? Want to hear about Mary? Oh, you, and I'm so, we got more of them. Okay, you want the CDs? There, you can have that one. The girls, you'll like that. The redhead is my daughter. So, anyway, praise the Lord. Amen. Okay, well, time's about up. Let me just talk to you very quickly, and these are some things that you, let me point out some things. I'll just read through these quickly. It won't take long. Weak spirits. This will help you identify whether you are weak in your spirit or not. You may be surprised by some of these things. Weak spirits, we've already established, don't receive. You know, wishing and wanting is not faith. And it doesn't produce. And people get discouraged. They find out that God wants to bless you, whether it's physically, emotionally, materially, financially, promotionally, whatever. You find that out, and then they want that, but then it doesn't happen, and they want to blame God. I want you to say this. It's not God's fault. No. Was it God's fault? Was it my fault that Sue didn't take the tapes? Was I handing them to her? Did I say, Sue, I want to give you these DVDs? And what happened? Nope, dropped right in front of her. Now, she could have huffed and puffed and gotten mad and walked away. But what she had to do was do what it takes to build up her strength so that when that, because the blessing of God is never withdrawn. It's always there. So it's not God's fault. Weak spirits don't resist. They don't feel like it. Weak spirits don't resist doubt. They give in to doubt. Weak spirits yield to worry. I hear people say this to me all the time. Well, I'm not worried. But, and they go on and say, and I'm like, hey, stop what you're telling me. That's what worry is. You know, my kids used to say to me, my daughter, you know, I'd get on to her about something, about being disobedient or rebellious. She'd say, well, I'm not rebellious. I'm just blah, blah, blah. And I said, no. What that is you just did, that's what rebellion is. And yes, that's what you are, is rebellious. And so we'll take care of that. And anyway, you just because you say that's not what it is doesn't make it not what it is. Weak spirits yield to worry. Weak spirits yield to fear. Weak spirits yield to the enemy. Weak-spirited people retreat behind the world, quickly running to the resources of the world. You shouldn't run to the doctor first thing. You shouldn't be running there first thing. You shouldn't run to the medicine cabinet first. You shouldn't run to, do y'all get Dr. Phil over here? Do y'all see Dr. Phil? Well, praise God for Dr. Phil, but that's not your source. We don't retreat and run behind the world. And I'm not saying that those things are bad. That's not my place to say whether it is or not. But we don't run behind that. God is our source. You let him lead you and tell you what to do. But a weak-spirited person doesn't even consider him. Or doesn't make much of a stand. A weak-spirited person doesn't resist sin. A weak-spirited person justifies being led by the flesh by always comparing themselves to others. Like, well, he did it. Just because they saw some other Christian do something, they go do it. I knew one guy that got involved in drugs because he knew the son of a preacher who did drugs, so he thought it was okay to do drugs. Hello, that won't fly. Okay, weak spirits have no energy to resist overeating. Weak-spirited people don't resist temptations, anger, fear, spending money. You ever tried to find consolation in spending money? Oversleeping? Habits that have hold of you? Television. I know people that can't go through the day without the television being on. Gossip. No strength to resist. I saw a card the other day. It said, if you can't say something nice about somebody and you open it up, it says, come sit by me. That would be a weak person who's always looking for that. All of these things, if you look it up in 2 Timothy 3, 1 through 5, this is what Paul calls it, spirit of the Antichrist. A weak spirit makes excuses. Weak-spirited person complains. Listen to yourself. I caught myself at that one time, sort of on an ongoing sense. I was complaining about everything. Nothing satisfied. Nothing made me happy. Just got in sort of a rut of that. Well, that's an indicator that your spirit's not strong. Complaining. Apathetic. Apathetic to natural things. Lazy. Slothful. Are you messy? Do you not pick your clothes up? People that are strong in spirit have a wherewithal that spirit will rise to the top and there's order in their lives. I know we all have things to work on. But when you start to identify these things in your life, then take charge of them. And if you can't take charge of it, if you just can't seem to work that out, if you're always late and you can't ever master that, your spirit's not strong enough because your spirit will master it once you choose to. This apathetic to spiritual things like prayer, Bible study, going to church, helping others. And here's one, walking in love, because walking in love takes an enormous amount of energy. When you get down spiritually, it's hard. You get cranky. Do you ever notice that? Impatient, agitated. Weak spirits have no vision to change. They don't want to change themselves, their circumstances. They don't progress. But they have a lot of vision to change other people. But a strong spirit, in 1 Corinthians chapter 4, we're right there. Let's back up just a little bit and look at verse 8. This is what a strong spirit sounds like. And Paul said, we are hedged in on every side. We are troubled and oppressed, but we are not crushed. We suffer embarrassments, we're perplexed, unable to find a way out, but we are not driven to despair. We are pursued, but we are not deserted to stand alone. We are struck down to the ground, but we are never struck out or destroyed. We carry about in our bodies the exposure to the same putting to death the Lord suffered, so that the life of Jesus may be shown in our bodies. For we who are constantly being handed over to death for Jesus' sake, that the resurrection life of Jesus may be evidenced through our flesh, which is liable to death. Thus death is at work in us, but it is in order that our lives may be at work in you. Yet we have the same spirit of faith as he who wrote, I have believed, therefore I've spoken. We believe, therefore we speak. We are assured that he who raised up the Lord Jesus will raise us up also with Jesus. He will bring us along with you into his presence. And for these things, for all these things taking place for your sake, so that more grace, favor, and blessing will extend to more people, more thanksgiving may increase to the glory of God. Therefore, we do not become discouraged. We are not spiritless. We are not exhausted. We are not wearied with fear. Though our outer man is decaying, our inner self is renewed every day. For these light, momentary afflictions are ever more and abundantly preparing and producing an everlasting weight of glory. Now that's a godly attitude. That's a strong attitude. Hey man, they can throw stones at me, but I'm getting up. Whatever happens, I got, you mean that little old thing? You mean that little old time where they tried to kill? Oh, you mean that time where I died, but God raised me from that? That little old thing? You see, that's the attitude of a winner. A strong spirit is assured and confident, having done all to stand, standing therefore, according to Ephesians 6. Ready for the task. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. More than just a survivor, but more than a conqueror through Him who loves me. Doesn't emphasize trouble, but calls them light afflictions. Full of expectancy. Pressing for the prize of the high calling, which is in Christ, ever reaching upward. This is in our daily lives as well as in the very big expectations. A strong spirit ascends. A strong spirit is promoted in life, in the body, in the mind, in finances, in relationships. And how do you get to that place? I'm going to give you a few really quick key things about how you grow and how you get strong. Just like natural, start with what you eat. 1 Peter, you just can write these down, we won't look them all up. 1 Peter 2:2 says, as newborn babes, you should crave, thirst, and desire the pure spiritual milk of the Word, that you may be nourished and grow by it. Desire and crave for it. You see to it, you... And this, talking about the Bible, reading your Bible, thinking about your Bible, finding out what the Bible says, studying the Bible, the sincere, pure milk of the Word. Hebrews 5, 11 through 14 talks about those who have gone on from milk to meat. And it says the ones who are able to partake of the meat or the Word are the ones, this is how you know, is somebody that has trained even their senses to know the difference between good and evil, between the natural and the spiritual. Even their own desires have been so put in line. Those are people that are pressing into get the meat of the Word. They let the Word of God marshal their lives. And then in 1 Timothy 4:6, Paul said, "Nourish yourself on wholesome teaching and instruction." That's feeding yourself, like I said before, those CDs, those books, the things of God, Christian television, and being careful what you hear. Don't just listen to anything everybody says. You start hearing somebody tell you all the things God can't do, won't do, or telling you what a bad and low-down scummy worm you are. That's not in line with this Word. So let it go and don't listen to that. He said, nourish yourself on wholesome instruction. Turn the radio off. Turn the television off. Put the Word in. Have it going day and night. He says, keep it before your eyes. Keep it going in your ears. And if you will do that, it is amazing what will come out of your heart in those times of trouble. Number two, exercise. Spiritual exercise. You can just, you don't get fat on the Word in the way you do get physically. What happens is you regress. I've seen people in our church who came for years, heard the Word, the milk of the Word, the meat of the Word, and didn't do anything with it. They weren't helping, they weren't serving, they weren't giving for years until they became dissatisfied with what they were hearing, went off to another church that wasn't preaching a strong Word. It's a real milky church. It's a good church. It's a sweet church. Lots of people go into that church, but it's a milky church. There's not a lot of demand. They don't even receive an offering. You just drop it in the back as you go out if you want to. No demand. No force, no exercise. It's real easy to go to church there. Very easy. Well, when you do that, then you don't develop, you don't grow. And that the Bible says there in Hebrews, you have once again come to need the milk. You have to go back and start over because you haven't exercised. He said, you should have been a teacher, but you didn't do it. So now you have to have milk. Speak the Word. These are how you exercise. Use your faith. Speak the Word. Letting the Word come out of your mouth. Confessing the Word. Prayer. Prayer develops focus. We're changed in His presence. And we learn to listen. You discipline your flesh in prayer. You don't let it get restless. You make your mind obey and say, no, we're thinking about Jesus right now, not what we're going to do for dinner tonight. Praise. Being thankful. On purpose, not just the 20 minutes or so you get in church, but being grateful everywhere you go. Sing a little song in the car. Walk through the mall with Jesus on your mind, giving praise to Him. Sometimes I just walk through saying, Lord, I'm so grateful Practice being grateful. I mean, specifically set out to practice being grateful. I asked the Lord, I said, Lord, teach me to find a new level of gratitude in my life. And He did. And the gratitude would just rise up in me sometimes. I'm so thankful to know You, Lord. I'm so thankful for this. I'm so thankful for that. Oh, and the Lord has helped me. Always giving honor to the Lord. The Lord helped me. Oh, Pastor Terry, that was a great message. Well, I'll tell you what, the Lord helped me. The Lord did it. The Lord, aren't we grateful for what the Lord has shown us? I'm so glad He's taught me something. I'm glad He hasn't left me to myself. Praising God, being grateful, develops humility, gets rid of pride. Bible says, lift your hands. Bible says, rejoice. Bible says to shout. Bible says to kneel. Bible says to sing. These are all physical things that will help develop your spirit when you put faith behind it. Another thing, to give. I love this. Luke 6:38, many of you can quote it. The Bible says, give and it shall be given unto you again. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over shall men give into your bosom. How often do we say that verse? And we're welcome and glad to confess that verse. But my challenge to you is to be the man who's running over to give. Right, shall men give into your bosom. Running over, men will give into your bosom. You be the person that's running to give. Set out a giving goal. I was in a convention one time and the Lord challenged me. I said, Lord, help me give deeper. Help me to understand giving more. He said, bring something of significance and give it to someone every service through this entire convention. And so I didn't just look for a little thing. I gave away, I gave a treasured watch. I had a very nice designer bag that I just bought and never used it. Gave that away. Gave away a pair of diamond earrings. Every service I brought something of significance and importance to me and gave something every meeting. Be a giver. Walk through the mall. Look for somebody. I walked up to a lady one time, sweet older lady looking at a bag, and I said, would you like to have that? She said, why, yes, I would. And I said, well, let's go buy it. She looked at me. I said, do you know the Lord? She said, oh, baby, yes. Remind me of Mama Jenkins. Oh, baby, honey, yes, Jesus. Praise Jesus. I said, well, Jesus wants you to have that person. I'm going to buy it for you. Let's go over to the counter. And we paid for the person. God didn't even look at the price tag. It's like, thank you, Jesus. I got the money to do it. I was glad she picked out one I had the money for. But it didn't matter. We're going to buy her. Give. Look to give. Live to give. Looking for ways. My husband is forever buying somebody's gas at the gas station or paying for. We never let a police officer pay for his own meal in our presence. Always looking to live a life of giving. This is spiritual exercise. Meditating the Word. Fasting. And then the third is rest. Eating, exercising, and resting. Hebrews 4:11, let us strive to enter the rest. 1 Peter 5:6 and 7, humble yourself. Cast your cares over on the Lord, for He cares for you. Isaiah 40:31, wait on the Lord. Renew your strength. Wait on the Lord, you renew your strength. Practice resting in God. Practice sitting before the Lord. Practice being calm. Practice not letting things upset you. Practice being in charge and master by your spirit the things around you. That's resting in God. The last thing is to remove hindrances. Hebrews 12:1. Lay aside the sin and the weights that so easily beset you. You know, there are a few things that can rob you. They are things that will bring weakness to your spirit. These things include strife. Strife is a spiritual drain. Violence. If you're feeding your eyes with violence, I know guys like blow 'em up movies, but you know what? If it's draining you, what's it worth? What's it worth to you if your baby's sick in the middle of the night and that TV show that you love so much and the movies you go watch and see? Those things will drain life out of you, and especially if you feed on them regularly. There are some things that my husband and I lay down. Well-produced shows. I love production. Love well-written scripts. High-level intelligence, we like that, but we found that we were watching a show every week and that it was draining us. We shut it down and hadn't missed it. Watching death, watching sex, watching bad news. You can get the news all day, every day now, but bad news going in your ears will drain you and drain your spirit. Selfishness and indulgences, indulging yourself, indulging your flesh, beginning to tell yourself, I deserve it. I deserve it. Those kinds of things. And you do that on any kind of regular basis at all, and it will drain your spirit. And then when you need it the most, it's not there. And you can't understand why I'm so weak that I can't raise my hands to receive what God is handing to me. That's when you go to your brother in the Lord, you go to your pastor, you go to the Word, you go to people and you say, agree with me. And they bring a strength that you don't have. God is good in His mercy and His grace. Raise you up. And then when you're well, He says, now, come to the table and let's eat right. Amen. Glory to God. Thank you so much. Hallelujah. Amen. I just want to say thank you, Pastor. I thank you. Stop. Stop. Yes, the Lord. But I wanted, you'll have to go back, I think, and get the message to catch and really think on all those things. That's really about a 6-week series, so I actually did pretty good. But I wanted you to have something because I wanted you to know how to better serve the vision and be a better equipped so that you're not a drain on this vessel of God, but you bring something that draws a greater strength out of her so that it's like a dynamo. You know what a dynamo is. It's like a thunderstorm that builds and builds and builds. So what you bring, then she gives, and you bring, and she gives, and all of a sudden the energy and the strength goes higher and higher and higher so that your effectiveness for the kingdom of God is something that the angels take note of. Amen. Thank you, Pastor.